Hello, and you're listening to the Shanghai Experience.
Before we begin, I just wanted to say that today's episode does not follow the same format as past episodes, as I wanted to change it up, but I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Shanghai Experience, where I talk with individuals across the vast city of Shanghai about their stories and aspirations. Today, my guest is Daniel Efron, also known as DJ Cairo. Welcome, Daniel.
Hi.
So to start us off, can you introduce yourself a little bit more?
So I came to Shanghai around like 11 years ago, and I've been in the same place ever since, I guess. And what made me more known, I guess, was when I started going out and like doing stuff with nightlife, and I immediately realized that you can make money from I guess like people and music and everything. So that's why people know me, I guess.
Okay. So tell me about your favorite experiences living in Shanghai. Do you have a specific one that comes to mind?
Well, since a lot of my experiences revolve around nightlife and that type of business, I remember one night, and this was like earlier on last year, like before ASL closed. I remember I was promoted to an assistant music director job, and I played my first like main set there. And thankfully, like a lot of people came. It was a Saturday night, and I remember the day before, I DJed at like this like outside place, and it was just like an insanely good weekend. And then that night, everybody enjoyed the music and everybody was vibing to my DJ. It was just really like an honorable and happy experience. And that was when I realized that I really did enjoy music and like bringing music to people and making people dance and stuff. It was really just a very good experience. And I just really enjoyed it as well.
All right. So what makes Shanghai so different than any other city to you personally?
Well, I haven't had the chance to live at a lot of other like big international cities. I'm looking forward to moving to Amsterdam this summer, so I think that'll be a good experience. But Shanghai, the size of it and the people and everything, is just like, I don't know, it's very large, and it's like I almost feel like we as international students come kind of like live in like a bubble, I guess, because like we're not fully exposed to like the Chinese culture here and what the Chinese people do, but then we also have to experience some of it, especially when we go out and do stuff like that. And especially for me, when I try to do business, I really have to like be good at my Chinese skills and know the culture a bit to like get the satisfaction from like bosses and etc. But there's also a very large, like as I said, international
community.
Yeah, I guess. And that also makes it a big difference, because it's not only like local people and stuff, and that really changes our perception of the city and like what we do. And there's a lot of like influences from different places. And I think not all of it's bad, some of it's good, but there can be some bad stuff about this type of setting and situation with people and stuff. So
yeah,
but I enjoy it. So
no, I agree. Being in Shanghai, it's a really international community, but I don't think it prepares you for the real world, because you know, all the international culture, everything is so safe here.
Yeah.
And it may, you know, take your mind off of how it might be actually outside of Shanghai.
Yeah.
But how did you get into DJing? How old were you when you started to DJ, you know, at home, maybe teaching yourself?
So I remember this was like two summers ago. And then I remember a friend bought a DJ deck, and then we were like all messing around in his place. And then I remember I was just trying to like mix two songs together. I had like no idea what I was doing. And I'm like, you guys are going to come to my show one time. And then at that point, I set my mind on like learning how to DJ. And then I remember one night I went out to a friend's birthday party at 83. And I remember seeing the DJ there, and that just like, and seeing him like being able to like change the crowd and make them dance and everything, it really just inspired me to like continue on my aspiration of being a DJ and like really going into Shanghai nightlife and making a business out of it. And I remember finally at one time I had a show that I also planned and organized. I made quite a lot of money from it. It was good. But the best part of it was seeing the same guys that told me I can't DJ walk in from the entrance, and that was a really funny experience. So that was how I got into it, and yeah.
I bet. Did you teach yourself, or did you take lessons, watch videos?
Because I've been doing music my entire life, I feel like I have a good sense of like tempo and song selection and everything, and I know how to read a crowd. That's the most important. If you want to be a DJ, you have to like be able to read the crowd without talking to them, I guess, and like just seeing their like responses to the music you play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mainly taught myself. I sold my computer, and with that money I bought some DJ decks, and that was a really good investment. I can say that was a good investment. But yeah, I taught myself everything.
What do you think is the hardest part about DJing? What do you think is the hardest bit about it?
I don't think like learning how to DJ is actually that hard. It's quite easy once you get the hang of it. It's almost like muscle memory. But if you want to become like professional, being able to play at clubs and stuff, I would say that's the hardest part. Being able to make those connections and convincing club owners why you should be like the DJ playing there, not some other DJ that might even have more experience than you. You know, that's like that's very, very hard. And I remember like in the beginning, I would literally just like go to clubs and just watch a DJ play and try to talk to them and learn from them and like everything. And I would literally just like sit there in front of like on the stage and just like watch and learn. And I did that for a long time. And I would always be like, yo, I have this mixtape. Can you listen to it? You know, give me some advice and stuff like that. And eventually it did work and I was able to get a show and everything, but it took a long time and much longer and much more effort than actually learning how to DJ. So, I mean, it depends if you want to like, just like play for fun or play professionally, but I can say that playing in front of a crowd in a club is honestly like a very exciting experience. And I remember the first time I did it, I was like shitting myself, dude, because they're telling me like, oh, I'll just play opening set. So it's like I was telling myself like, oh, there's not that many people, it'll be fine, you know. And then the last second they changed it to like main set. And I remember walking in to the main set, the entire place was filled to the brim, and I started like sweating, and I'm like, I'm not prepared for this. But then it did eventually go well, and that, I feel like that was when, and there were some quite important like nightlife people there, and they were all like, yo, you did a good job and everything. And I felt very good, and I thought like that was the time that made a turning point, that people actually started like booking me and stuff, and yeah, it was good.
Where and when was your first gig, by the way?
It was like November 2020.
Okay.
And it was at Found, and the club was called Verb, but it closed already because like bankruptcy.
Okay. So what is your favorite part about DJing though? Is it how you get the crowd going?
Yeah, definitely. My favorite part is definitely like just playing songs and seeing the crowd like completely vibe to it. Just dancing and just having fun. Like just being on stage and playing music and seeing how the crowd reacts. Especially when people go insane and like start singing the songs. That's just an incredible feeling. I can't really explain unless like you have the chance to like feel it for yourself as well, you know. But that's definitely the part that's definitely like most enjoyable.
So how do you read the crowd? How do you understand like, oh, right now I got to play this type of music. Right now the crowd's feeling this type of vibe.
I feel like a lot of it comes from like experience, I guess, just being able to like play at different places and reading different types of crowds. But usually like in your USB for DJing, you have like different folders of different types of music. And basically, if you play one type of song, like one genre or one artist, and you see like the crowds like stops really dancing and just like is kind of being idle, just kind of stands there, what you have to do is like, that's like the worst thing for a DJ, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people, if you keep playing that type of music, people start leaving and stuff, and it's just not good. So what you have to do is be able to like transition very fast, and like just try out different genres until you find like something they like. And it depends on the time of night as well. You don't want to play like some really hype stuff at like 10 p.m. when people are just coming in. You start off with like chill rap, or depending on the club, maybe house or something. Then you start playing some more like hype stuff. It can be hype rap or like pop or whatever, but depends on the venue and place and I guess the people and what they're looking for. So it's like an experiment, you know. You have to like test out stuff.
Okay. Do you have a specific person that is your musical inspiration?
Yeah, definitely. It's Kanye.
Kanye?
Kanye is definitely my inspiration. He is definitely like something. He's just something, and his vibe and his music and how he chooses to produce and make and write his music is just completely like astonishing to me, and I really enjoy it. And I feel like it just means a lot to me. And something else is that we share same disorder, so I feel like I can really relate to him. And yeah. Sometimes when he goes crazy, I feel like it's really relatable sometimes. And his music also just speaks to me. So yeah, he's definitely the inspiration.
Of course. So how do you stay up to date with the music trends? There's some songs that are going crazy out of time. How do you stay up to date with that and make sure you play the right thing?
Well, there's actually like websites for DJs that just tells you like, oh, this song's trending, that song's trending. And like, there's different websites, so it's quite easy to do that, you know. But then you also shouldn't always play just like trending songs.
Okay.
You need to know like what throwback songs to play, what songs people like remember from before. And that, I remember when I was doing Arcadia, that was a really big hit that really got people coming there and everything, because I would play a lot of throwback music. That's what people liked at that time during summer. So that's also the type of reading the crowd. You have to know the time of the year and what people are like enjoying and stuff, you know.
All right. So, I mean, your name is Daniel Efron, but where does the DJ name DJ Cairo come from specifically?
Honestly, I have no idea. Like, I genuinely don't know. I don't know how I came up with it. I think it was like before my first set ever, they're like, yo, you need a DJ name. And they're like trying to like rush me into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bro, I don't feel like I have no idea, you know. But then Cairo literally just like popped in my head without any like.
No explanation.
I was like, that sounds pretty cool. It's short, you know, catchy and stuff. I was like, yo, I'll just go with that. Here I am. I'm still Cairo. So
before you performed at your first set, the first thing they asked you was, what's your name?
Yeah,
like DJ name. And then DJ you had to come up with it.
Yeah, and a logo as well. I haven't even started playing yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, so what would be some advice you'd give to young people trying to learn how to DJ?
Just don't give up, honestly. Like, you'll have a lot of setbacks and stuff, but if you just keep pushing, keep asking people to listen to your mixtapes, like, just keep on going. And honestly, not even just for DJing, for like everything. For if you're an artist, if you're doing stuff with school or whatever, like, you just gotta keep on going. You just gotta find something you're passionate about, you're motivated about, like, everything, and just like keep on trying, I guess. Yeah, I mean, obviously you're gonna fail at some point. Some in the beginning, people won't want to listen to your stuff or anything, but you just gotta keep on promoting it, keep on pushing it. So I mean, that's like the best advice.
Was there anybody specific that kept you going, maybe a mentor when you were first getting into the business or first learning how to DJ? Was there anybody that pushed you or taught you something about it?
No, nobody really pushed me. I feel like I was just very hungry
for
like being known and like money, I guess.
Yeah.
But also music. I was just very hungry to do something about music. There were people that supported me and were there for me, but I wouldn't really say push me. They wouldn't like say like, if I said I didn't want to, they wouldn't be like, oh, you have to or something. I don't think anybody really pushed me, but there were definitely a lot of people that supported me and were there for me when stuff wasn't looking up. So I'm thankful for that, but I feel like I was kind of my own mentor and I just learned from my experiences and everything. So yeah.
So doing all of this would be pretty exhausting.
Yeah.
How do you motivate yourself to keep going, even if you're exhausting, you have a gig? You know, how do you keep yourself moving forward?
Like coffee and like, I don't know, because you usually get paid a lot for DJing as well. And if I don't really want to play at a certain night, I just like think about the rewards of playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, whatever, you know, I'll just drink some coffee. And it usually ends up being pretty fun. You know, I usually just sometimes...
You settle in.
Yeah, I just settle in. I get used to it. There's a crowd, you know. So you just kind of get used to it, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of get used to it.
So what are your plans for the future? Do you see yourself continuing DJ?
I don't really want to DJ that much anymore. I'm kind of focusing, like, I'm putting the time into making my own music.
Because
I realize that you can't really blow up as a DJ, you know. You can't really, like there's not that much to promote except your name.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using the time on the weekend and the time I used to DJ to like focus on like making professional songs and really going into the music production world and music engineering. Right now I do a lot of music engineering for different artists in Shanghai. and for myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my main plan, even though I'm starting to DJ at One Oak, mm-hmm. but One Oak only. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think it'll be really fun because, you know, a lot of people go there and stuff. But I have a single coming out on March 10th and looking forward to that as well. So I'm really launching myself into like the musical artist type of scene and kind of leaving DJing behind, but not completely. That's my plan for the future.
All right. Well,
thank you for coming on to the
podcast. Yeah, of course. I had a good time.